for you. And that's something, a particular place fitted for individuals. And he said, if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. Not maybe. But he said, I want you to know, I will come again. Aren't you glad we know a God today that will? He said, I will come again and I'll receive you unto myself. What a day when we see Jesus. That where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know. And the way, you know. And Thomas says something. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Yeah. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me, is what Jesus said. You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you today. We know it's a very solemn time in our church. Lord, you've instructed us to bear one another's burdens. There are many burdens here today, but God, there are also a lot of blessings here. Could you let us focus on the blessing today? Could we realize what you've done for us on the cross, who you are? God, may we realize that you're soon to return. And I want to thank you for the people here that you've helped. I want to thank you for the family that you helped this weekend. God, I want to thank you for helping a family in this pathway of life that's filled so with sorrow. I want to thank you for the goodness of God and the grace of God. I want to thank you for the family of God. I want to thank you for this tabernacle today. I want to thank you for my grandchildren and others' grandchildren today. I want to thank you that you gave me air this morning to get up and breathe. And I want to thank you that you've given me eyesight to see your word. I want to thank you that you've given me hands to handle the Bible this morning. I want to thank you that you gave strength in my feet to get to the house of God. I want to thank you for my friends and my family today. I pray now you'd get the honor and the glory out of this sermon. And I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother Joe was preaching the other night. I think it was Brother Joe. And he mentioned about this Bible character. And Brother Jamie, it rose up in my heart. He said, well, at least Thomas asked the question. I wonder, have any of you ever asked the question? I wonder if you ever seen an important time in your life. Would you look inside of your heart and do you really know who Jesus is? And do you know that heaven will be your home? Thomas asked the question. He said, Lord, he said, I want to know about this. He said, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, I'm glad the Bible has showed us the way this morning. I want to preach on this simple thought out of John 14. And as Jesus gave these words to His disciples, He went on through this chapter and He highlighted some very important things that is very timely and punctual in this day and hour in our Christian walk of life. I want to say before I get started preaching today, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you have a special invitation to come today by the way of the old rugged cross. And here this morning on these troubled hearts, you'll notice in verse 1, Jesus wanted us to realize something. First of all, there is a power that is sovereign. He said in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The power that is sovereign. God is in total control. He told his disciples, you believe in God, I realize that, but I want you to believe in me, is what Jesus said. Within the Gospels, Jesus said that if you see me, you see the Father. We know that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. He was the God-man. And here in this text, we see the power that is sovereign. First of all, He's the Savior of the soul. I'm glad my soul is saved this morning. Everybody here, you are in three parts. You have soul, spirit, and body. Your soul must be saved. Your soul's going to leave this body and spirit, and it's going to meet the Lord one day. Therefore, we must be born again. The power that is sovereign. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. I'm glad He's the Savior of the soul. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The power that is sovereign. Look in verse 6, if you would. The path that is simple. He simply said, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If we took a poll in America today, if we surveyed this whole country, you would have so many different opinions about how people would go to heaven. Some say that you must belong to a particular church. Some say that you must be baptized. Some say that you must give that and do this and do that. But let's look what Jesus said. Talking about the path that is simple. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to remind you today, because they won't teach your children this in public education. But honey, the Muslims are not our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you bypass Jesus, you'll die and go to hell in your sin. If you're trying to get there on your good works and on effort, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. But I'm glad what Jesus done on Calvary. He took my sin and your sin, and He shed His blood that we could all get unto God by Him this morning. Oh, the path that is simple. Aren't you glad that Jesus did not require us to do certain things, but simply believe upon Him? Here, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to say, first of all, the path that is simple, without the way, there is no going. Now, there's a lot of people think they're going, but they're not on the pathway of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, simply in this text, without the way, there is no going. But aren't you glad that Jesus paid the way for me? We don't have to pay it ourselves. We just trust in the finished work of Calvary by God's Son. What that it done? That He pleased the Father to pay our sin debt. And Jesus said, without the way, there is no going. Then He said, secondly, He explains, without the truth, there is no knowing. He said, not only am I the way, but I am the truth. Do you want truth this morning? If you hold a King James Bible in your lap, you hold a book of truth. It's not a book of myths. There's not one wrong word in this whole Bible this morning. We have the complete canon of the Word of God. We have everything that God sent us to get us to heaven by the Word of God. And that is letting us know that Jesus loves us and He died for all of our sin. Isn't it amazing that Jesus died for our sins? You see, this morning, the path that is simple. Without the way, there's no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. And He says not only this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Without the life, there is no living. There's a lot of people think, boy, they are living the greatest life. Let me tell you something. You may be blessed by this world's riches, but if you don't know Jesus, you know nothing about the life this Bible tells us about this morning. I sure am glad this life is worth living. There's nothing like being a Christian. You know, a lot of people, they have a wrong idea of what a Christian is. A Christian is not somebody that comes to church on Sunday and sings a few songs and goes out in the world and lives like the devil on Monday. A Christian is one that has been born from above by the Spirit of God, and Jesus lives in their heart. Their sins are forgiven. And I'm going to tell you, there's no greater life that you could ever live than to live it for Jesus. You know, God has blessed us so. And a lot of times we think, well, if we can get this, it would make me happy. And if we could go there, it would make me happy. But let me tell you, there's nobody like Jesus that gives us a life to live like Jesus. This morning, let not your heart be troubled. Thomas asked a question. Jesus explains about the power that is sovereign, the path that is simple. But then notice He talks about a prayer that is sure. He told them something in verse 13. He said, "And I want to let you men know that whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. If you love Me, keep My commandments." I'm glad we've got somebody we can pray to this morning. I'm glad when our praying, when we try to pray according to our will and it's not the will of the Father, a lot of times our prayers are not answered. And I want to remind you, when we get to heaven, you will be amazed of how many times you'll thank the Lord for those prayers that He didn't answer, that you didn't know about and you couldn't figure it out. But He's the God on the throne and He knows what we need in our life. Oh, many times I've prayed different things and God wouldn't answer that prayer. But oh, when we pray in His will, and it's the best thing for us by the love of the Father, aren't you glad that there's a heaven that can receive the prayers of His people? You know, last night there were some men here gathered. The Bible says men ought to always pray and not to faint. The Bible says pray without ceasing. I'm thankful we have a God that we can talk to about our situation. A lot of you here, you're struggling with things in your life. You're wondering, how are you going to get through it? What do I do from here? What do I do now, preacher? Pray and ask God what to do. Get the Lord to show you what to do. He's instructing these disciples. He says, let me tell you, I may be going to leave you for a time, but don't you forget, you can always talk to Me. Aren't you glad we've got a God we can talk to this morning? When nobody else can hear us, aren't you glad that we've got a God we can talk to? When nobody else can get to where we are, aren't you glad we've got a God that we can talk to? The troubled hearts, we see a power that is sovereign. He said, you believe in God, believe also in Me. The path that is simple, He's the way, the truth, and the life. The prayer that is sure, praying in the Father's name. Dear God, not my will, but Thy will be done. And you know, I want to say something as a pastor and as a Christian. Many times it's hard to accept God's will, isn't it? But we must trust that God always does that what is perfect and that is right. For He is God, and we know that all things work together for good. I don't understand why families struggle. I don't understand why little children are called away from mom and daddies. But we know all of these things happen. But we know this, we've got a God that we can talk to in our situation. So you see this morning, let not your heart be troubled. the power that is sovereign, the path that is simple, the prayer that is sure. But now he speaks of the Spirit in verse 16. We see the person of the Spirit. He lets them know, he said, let me tell you something. I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself. Aren't you glad as a child of God we are never alone? You know, a lot of times we overlook, we hear the word Holy Ghost and you think somebody's going to term you as a holy roller. But let me tell you something, you're not going to heaven without the Holy Ghost. See, the Spirit of God must live in you is what our Bible teaches. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his, is what the Bible said. Jesus said, even though I'm going away, I want to let you know I'm leaving somebody to help you. And look what he says about this great comforter, the person of the Spirit. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Look, that he may abide with you forever. We see his person, another comforter. How many times in our life when nobody else could bring us comfort, but the great comforter comforted us? I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that lives in me this morning. He is the great comforter. Only he can bring comfort. And so here, he's reminding these disciples about the person, the Spirit. We see his person, another comforter. But then look at his purpose in verse 16. That he would simply comfort you. Do you know this comforter of the Spirit this morning? Can I tell you, if you're saved, I'm talking about genuinely born again, and the Spirit of God lives in you, you've got somebody that lives inside of you that can bring comfort to your heart this morning. Isn't it amazing that he's reminding his disciples about this great comforter? I want to say in my praying many times, I ask the Spirit of God to help me. And I pray and I say, Spirit of God, help me right now. Lord, allow the Spirit of God to fill me and help me. We need the person of the Spirit of God. And you know, a lot of times I think that he's so overlooked, he's grieved, he's quenched, and he wants to be so involved in our service that he always points us to Christ. You always remember this. If it's the Spirit's work, not only does He comfort us, but He will always point us to Christ. Here today, the person of the Spirit. His person, His purpose. But verse 26, look at His promise. Verse 26, His promise. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The promise. You know, there's been times in my life when the Spirit of God has spoke to me specifically and showed me things, even showed me things to come. There's been times that he has not. But I want to say every time, he's always brought comfort in my heart through that pathway of life. And this morning, here is Jesus is telling his disciples. He's teaching them about the person of the Spirit, his person, his purpose, his promise to teach us. And then look at verse 27, not only about his promise, but look at his presence. This is what he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now I want to say something right here in closing today. His presence. Look what the Bible says. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. So many people are running to the world to get help. You know what Jesus told the church? He said, come out from amongst them, speaking of the world, and be ye separate. We don't go to the world for our comfort. We don't go to a bottle or a bag for our comfort. We have the great comforter that lives in us. And he said simply this. He said, I will give you peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Let me tell you, are you tired of what the world's giving you? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The prayer that assures the person of the Spirit that look at this place that is secure. I want to go back to John 14 and verse number 2, and I want you to look at this. The place that is secure. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. I got this written in notes in my Bible. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. It lets me know He will never send us to a place where He's not prepared. He will never send any of His children to a place where it's not prepared. He's already been there. And wherever this life takes us, I can assure you this, if you're a saved child of God, Jesus will be with you. And Jesus will be there when you get there. You see, He'll never send us to no place that He's not prepared. Now, this is what He tells His disciples. He said, I want you to know this. He said, in my Father's house, this place that is secure, there are many mansions. Some Bibles relate to there are many rooms, but my Bible says there are many mansions. Made specifically for His children. You say, preacher, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? Well, this I can guarantee you, we're going to see Jesus. And we're never going to be mistaken about whom He is. We'll know Him when we see Him. The Bible says we will be like Him. We will have new bodies. There'll be no more heartaches, no more pains. And we'll have a particular place, a mansion. I'm glad I have that place prepared for me. Can I ask you this? Right now in October is one of the most prettiest times in our seasons. Leaves will start turning. Where I was week before last is one of the most beautiful parts in the country. It's the highest peak east of the Mississippi. You get there and you just look for miles off them ridges. Those leaves will start turning and the beauty is unbelievable. Somebody will say, well, there's not a God. Well, let me tell you something. You can believe that if you want to, but only God can paint the pictures I've seen in this life. And I want to say something. Jesus has been gone now for 2,000 years preparing this place. I wonder what it looks like. He spoke all of this into existence in one simple moment. But I just wonder what He's preparing for us. How glorious and how beautiful that it must be. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you this before I close this sermon. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. In our culture, people don't believe in hell anymore much, but it don't change what our Bible says. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. You die without Christ, you're going to hell. You die in Christ, you go to heaven. There is no purgatory. There is no resting place. There's no way you can pay your way out or pray your way out. Wherever eternity finds us is the way that it keeps us. This morning, this place that is secured. You know, before I left, Brother Mike, me and Miss Renee come out of the house and I set the alarm and it didn't set. I've got a panel there and it showed me the garage door was open. Brother Andrew, I had to walk out and close that garage door, come back in the house and set my alarm. But I'm glad I'm going to a city this morning where there are no robbers in glory. There are no thieves that will break through and steal that what we've sent ahead of us. And you know, I think it's very important that I read this morning before I close. It just popped up in my heart and I want to read it. I've read it here several times, but I love quotes that I've heard the old men of God say, or a book that I've studied. I love to write these quotes. And talking about going to the city, going to where our mansion is, there's a man that, and I want you to think about it, and I'm about done preaching. There's a man that had been to heaven for a while. A fellow come by and said, "I've noticed you've been here for some time." He said, "I've noticed you've been taking a lot of things in, and I just want to ask you something. Since you have been here at heaven, what have you learned? What have you digested? What have you learned?" He told him three things that I've never forgot. I love this quote. He said, "Since I've been here, I've realized what I spent, I lost. What I saved, I left. But what I gave, I have." The Bible teaches us to send our treasures above. The Bible teaches us to lay up in store where thieves can't break through and steal. What are you sending ahead? You say, "Well, preacher, how do I send ahead anything?" By minding the Lord. Being faithful to what He's called you to do and has asked you to do in this Bible. Working for Him by the grace of God. Being good to others. Doing things that exalt Christ. What God is asking you to do, do you do that? That's laying up treasures above. This morning, I'll get Miss Sherry to come today. "Let not your heart be troubled. Please don't forget the power that is sovereign, the path that is simple, the praying that is sure, the person of the Spirit. That place that is secure, but look in verse 3, the promise that is sweet. And if I go," watch this, "and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You see, Jesus has made a way for you, but you must accept the way that He's made for you. And that's to believe in who He is and what He's done. He shed His blood on the cross to forgive you of your sin and my sin. And I'm thankful this morning that my sin is under the blood of the Lord Jesus. The promise that is sweet. These mansions of love, peace, joy, and rest. I'm glad I'm going to that city. We're all loved with the same love. Bought with the same price. Justified with the same righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. This morning, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, is what Jesus said. For He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus is not a way to heaven. He's the way. No other way. I'm glad He's preparing a place for us. I wonder if when yours will be finished and you'll be called home. I don't know where mine is in the process, but I can tell you this, it's there. And when I get there, I'm going to see Jesus. And I bless His name forever. You may be here today, you've never been saved. I don't know of a better morning, an October Sunday morning. Make your way down an old-fashioned altar. Kneel on an old rug. I'm glad I've got a place. Have you got a place where you receive the Lord in your life? I'm glad I came by faith. Just simple trust as a little child, I came. I said this simple prayer, God, save me. And He did. And He'd do that for you this morning. Maybe you're here, you need something in your life. This altar is open. Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Would you come this